The Defense Department is upgrading its military networks to increase access to different kinds of mobile technology, but many security experts say the gold standard for smartphones and mobile devices is still the BlackBerry. Michael Brown is Vice President of Security Product Management and Research for BlackBerry and my guest on Industry Chatter today. Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for joining me today. Is security still issue one in mobility when you talk to people working in the federal government? Thanks for being on the program.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. And I would completely agree with you. Security is one of the most important issues that face how you deploy mobility and across government networks and enterprise networks. Fundamentally, security is about how you enable someone to use mobile in a successful way.
And the idea of using mobile has transitioned from the conversations I've had lately away from let's use mobility because it's cool to a mission-focused concept. How has that changed the questions that people ask you in the federal space? How has that changed the way that they approach the moves that they want to make in the mobile area?
Yeah, and it's a fascinating topic because what we've seen here is that often a conversation will start with a customer or with a partner where they say, I want to use mobility in my organization. How do I do that? And you actually start to take that conversation with them further, and it starts to step back and say, well, what are the business problems that you're trying to solve within your agency? And then it really becomes actually more of a policy focus or a process focus review within an organization where once you complete all of that, you can say, great, now how can I use mobility to accomplish these great solutions that we just worked our way through with policy? So I would agree that mobility has really switched from being the afterthought in terms of how government is delivered to become at the very forethought of how you create those solutions.
You wrote recently in Government Security News, my intention is to arm consumers, enterprise, and government workers with a baseline familiarity of concepts and procedures associated with mobile security. What all does that encompass, Michael? What all is it that everybody should have in his or her personal mental arsenal when it comes to mobile security?
Well, I think what's fascinating is when you think about the challenges that a consumer faces compared to the challenges of a government, they're very, very similar in many ways, with the obvious difference of scale between the two of them then. From a consumer point of view, their concerns are, how do I protect my personal information? How do I make sure that no one can access information from my smartphone or from my tablet? And how do I know that when data is stored on those devices that they're protected there as well too? Those are the same challenges that government needs to think about as well to when they're deploying mobility there. So for consumer, it's thinking about how do we educate them in terms of the use of things like passwords, mobile devices, the ability to take advantage of encryption of data stored on the devices, and knowing that when they download applications, because let's not forget that challenges like malware and thinking about how we deploy applications on mobile devices, that affects both governments and consumers there. And so make sure they take advantage of the storefronts associated with the mobile device they're using, which have been curated and scanned for security issues.
You talked about the concept of using mobility to solve business problems rather than just mobility for the sake of mobility.
Yep.
My sense is that we're transitioning now out of that, and I'm going to guess that you hear less of that, of I just want to go mobile because it's a good idea, and you're hearing more of the desire to solve business problems. What is that? What are those conversations like now? Do people come to you with preconceived notions of how mobility can solve their problems, or are they really bringing you the problems and saying, how do I get around this?
Well, what's interesting is that often they're coming with a problem where they've solved it in a certain way on a desktop computer. So if we think about, say a maintenance worker in an organization, they've been thinking about how do they actually, say, get manual to that person, and it's trouble tickets, those types of pieces. And they're very desktop-centric. They might have a desktop computer where they do the majority of their data entry, then a mobile device, which previously they've been thinking of it more for paging, phone calls, those types of things. So they're coming with a mindset from a desktop-based world. And so we actually get to have that conversation and say, well, if you're a maintenance worker, why don't you have access to that manual on demand, wherever you are while you're dealing with a trouble ticket? And why do you ever have to go back to your desk to actually input any information when you have a mobile device in your hands while you're doing your job? Policing has been a great example of this. If we look in, say, the UK, for example, where they've been widely deploying mobile devices, the ability for them to do community policing has increased greatly because they've been thinking about mobility as being a way to be a force multiplier for the police forces so that they stay in the community, which of course is the point of community policing then, and so they can access information wherever they are within the community, and they don't have to spend the same amount of time going back into the office to fill out reports at the end of every shift.
When I think about what you're talking about there on an individual level, the desirability is obvious. When I think about it at an enterprise level, I guess my first thought shifts to, boy, how do you manage all that? All of those people with all of those devices floating around could be just tremendously challenging.
You're right. You know, we suddenly move away from when the corporate or enterprise or government network, you could, you know, in a sense, wrap your arms around it because they're all within the physical confines of your offices that you had then. And instead now, you take all of those same management problems that you thought about in the desktop world, say, managing software updates, you know, updating applications for users out there, doing configuration. And now you have all those same challenges in mobility, but then those devices are now, you know, physically moving around the world every single day then. So you're right, the management challenges on mobility are quite a bit greater. The difference, though, is that I think solutions like mobility actually have grown up in thinking about how do we solve management problems because this issue has been part of it from its inception there. You know, with BlackBerry, that's why things like Bez came along as well, too, is how do we allow a customer to deploy mobile devices and then manage them in such a way that they can allow their users to access the applications as they need to get their job done, but also make sure that you're complying with, say, whatever types of regulations and legislation your particular industry needs to live within.
One thing that I think that regulation and compliance environment has driven to is an almost complete silence on bring your own device. I have not heard anybody really talk about that at least for 6 or 8 months. And I'm not suggesting it's dead in the federal government, but I am suggesting nobody seems to be that excited about it right now or that focused on it, at least to the point of advancing any pilot programs or anything like that that I or any of my colleagues have heard much about. What is your sense of where BYOD is right now, and what do you know about how BYOD is progressing in the private sector enterprise area compared to what's happening in the federal space?
Yeah, so I think bring your own device really started as a knee-jerk to consumerization, meaning users that said, I have a particular mobile device that I'm viscerally attached to and I want to bring it into my environment to do work with it then. So bring your own device suddenly became this, this is how I'll deal with it at the beginning then. But what we've seen happening over the last, you know, even the last 6 months, for example, as well, has been a recognition from a lot of customers that bring your own device, you know, corporate-owned, personally-enabled, or COPE, COBO, which is corporate-only, business-only. There's all these different shorthands out there, which are really about how do my end users, how do I want them to use mobility in my environment, and what are the controls I need for them then? So the conversation has shifted away from being specifically about, is it BYOD right for my environment? Is it COPE? Is it COBO? To more of a nuanced discussion to say, what are the problems I'm trying to solve for my end users? And then afterwards, what is the activation model? Is it bring your own device in some cases or others? So let the business needs drive the technology decisions, not the other way around in this case then. Government, of course, you know, it certainly has a much higher level of needs and requirements that need to be met, where bring your own device may not be the right solution in many cases there. And so often we see a lot of those customers say, well, I want to allow my end users within the federal government to access personal information, whether it be social media, personal applications, et cetera, but I have a higher degree of management and a higher degree of control required than what a traditional BYOD deployment would do. And so they start to think about then is that more hybrid type of approach of allowing a solution to be personally enabled but controlled to the level that a government requires.
And it strikes me, too, that the concept of being able to secure data as compared to having to secure the device might kind of be a blessing in disguise or a blessing in reverse for agencies that really feel more comfortable about managing their own enterprises, because if you're securing data rather than securing devices, you can then the devices, I don't want to suggest they become a commodity, but certainly you can be a little bit more price sensitive and choose devices that will work in your enterprise zone and not worry as much about the consumerization aspect because your employees can always, as prices fall all across the spectrum, your employees can just, for their personal use, go get whatever they want.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make there, because by changing the conversation to be about, rather than what is the device, but instead talking about what's my data and what data do I actually have being deployed to my end users, then the conversation actually becomes more of a risk mitigation type of discussion. How much information am I comfortable with my end users? Of course, remembering they're going to be in all different parts of a particular agency or organization along the way. What information am I comfortable with them accessing from a mobile device, generally speaking? And then from a more nuanced level, depending on, say, even the type of device, so the type of controls you might have available to them, maybe I'm comfortable with more data being accessed in some devices, but not another there. So again, it's much very much that similar concept of changing the conversation to make it about the business and what the business is trying to enable. And so then data, as being very much the currency of business, becomes that risk mitigation and that risk migration kind of inflection point there to say, I'm going to focus on the data I want my users to access, and then that's what's going to dictate for me the user security policies, the device policies, all those things afterwards then, because I've had that conscious discussion about how I need to protect the data in my environment.
I wonder if the threat landscape is the same for the mobile portion of an enterprise as it is for the enterprise overall. What are the similarities and differences there, Michael?
Yeah, I think from a similarities point of view, you have some of those same fundamental problems in terms of you need to get your organization's data to and from the mobile device in a secure fashion. That's similar to a laptop, especially being in a hotel environment. You have similar challenges in terms of how do I know it's actually you, the user from that organization who's connecting into my back into my organization from that mobile device. These are very consistent situations you have to manage across mobile or a desktop environment. The difference, however, though, becomes partly the scale and complexity of mobile. Those devices are spread out anywhere around the world and connecting through all manner of networks to get back into your organization. If you think about that that data at rest issue of how do I protect data stored on the device there, these devices don't have the same necessarily power or memory associated with a desktop computer, so you need to be, efficiency is such an important part of how you design those solutions. And then the overall management aspect of these devices here. You're going to be pushing applications out to these devices. You need to make sure that you're pushing the right device to the right users. The thing about mobile, again, is it's been this opportunity for us to take those lessons of, say, about the last 30 years in the PC world and make sure we build those exact solutions into the management solutions such as Bez for mobile devices so that you already have concepts around how do I group users. You already have concepts around how do I set policy frameworks for different users within the same organization out of the box with a mobile management solution, which makes it so much more powerful for an IT admin when they're dealing with mobile.
Are we getting to a point, or do you think we'll come to a point where we don't think about mobile as mobile anymore? Where we just think about it as a part of the enterprise and it's kind of taken for granted, Michael?
I think we get to the point where it's computing. It's not mobile anymore. Mm-hmm. The thing about mobile is that we've gone through this transition of at the beginning when BlackBerry started, say, 15 years ago, mobile was in many ways kind of the new cool new gadget which allowed me to access email from my hip. That was the innovation of that time. Fast forward over those 15 years and you think about how users use mobile devices today, it's their, many cases, primary way of interacting with information, whether they're in their personal life or their work life as well too. And so in many ways, what we're really talking about here is, as a user in an organization, I have a number of different screens which I'm using to interact with the organization's information. And so as an IT administrator, it's less about, is it a desktop deployment, a mobile deployment? It's an information deployment and a screen deployment, and I needed a management solution there that allowed me to manage my organization's data across all of those screens that which my users are using.
When you look at the landscape of where mobile has gone and where you expect it to go, will the security challenges for mobile environments evolve, or will they mutate into things that maybe we don't see today or even think about today? Or what's that trajectory look like in your view, Michael?
Yeah, so what's exciting about mobility has been the fact that there's always new technologies which are coming into the mix to make it more powerful for end users and more desirable to end users. If you think back, close to 8 or 9 years ago, Bluetooth was a new technology which came into mobile devices. There was a lot of security threats and a lot of security concerns when Bluetooth was first brought into mobile devices that we had to think about how we built those controls for ID departments and consumers against those. Similarly, location-based services and GPS, when it came into mobile devices, it brought in all this great ability to figure out how to navigate around the beltway, but it brought in privacy concerns because now an application could know where I am. Certainly now we're getting into mobile payments as being another important part of how I use my mobile device, whether it's interacting with my banking information or actually going to a point-of-sale terminal and paying. Now, this technology trend will just keep continuing, both in the consumer space and in the enterprise space, and which means that there'll be more and newer threats coming, but they're all going to have those same basic challenges we need to solve. How do I protect an end user's identity? How do I protect their data? And how do I protect for an enterprise organization or a government their data, whether it's how it gets to a particular device and how it's interacted with when it's on that mobile device?
And one of the important things that I'll want to know, too, as I run an enterprise, is whether the products that I'm introducing to that enterprise are secure. Now, we've seen a variety of different ways that federal agencies go about doing that, but what does the certification landscape look like in your view, Michael?
Yeah, this is something that mobile devices have grown up within, is how do I solve that problem of proving that a solution is going to meet the needs of a customer? The challenge, of course, is that you can't just look at security and see if it's good or bad. So it's important for a company such as BlackBerry to be very transparent in terms of talking about their security, providing documentation. But then this is where government has been a leader in the industry there in terms of driving security certifications around the world. In the U.S., things like the FIPS 140 program, which is focused on how to use cryptography in a system, things like Common Criteria, which is a very more holistic view across how the processes and policies work, and now being replaced by, say, the NIAP process within the U.S. Department of Defense. And then internationally, there's so many different types of certification programs which are similar in nature. The UK government has their own, groups like NATO, for example, have certification programs. But what's important for a customer then is that by having that knowledge of the existence of the certification programs, they can look to solutions then that meet, across a wide variety of those programs out there, because they all overlap in different ways, but they provide a great solution together in terms of whether a solution is ready for you to use in your environment.
What should we be thinking about if I'm a CIO? What should I be thinking about in the mobility world for the next year to 2 years to 5 years that maybe isn't on my radar screen today, Michael?
A lot of the discussions that I end up having with enterprise and government customers often go back to those basics, thinking about not just mobility in terms of what are the special things about mobility I need to worry about. It's take the conversation back a bit and focus on what am I trying to do in my business? What problems am I trying to solve in my organization? And what data do I have? It's still surprising the number of organizations that just aren't aware of the amount of data, which, like a hoarder, it just continues to grow over time then. And by having that conversation of going back to first principles to say, this is the data I have. Here's the business problems I'm trying to solve. Here's the policies that I need to enable and the processes that will make my end users effective. Then you can talk about then how does mobility make that easier for my end users then? And that ends up being a very valuable discussion for the IT administrator, for the CIO, and then it provides for a great solution for the end users in that environment.